keys, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? He is our peace. He is our peace. So cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. So cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? He is our peace.
That we can go. Our refuge, our peace. Amen. Well, God bless you. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of new faces around. God bless you. Good to have you with us this evening. Looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I trust you are as well. Amen. Amen. Pray for my voice.
Amen.
I may not have a voice after this song service. It's a little rough. I like to sing, "When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin." I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed of the Lord are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Gathering in, there will be Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, for He's saving me. He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Sing that again. Is my sadness, guilt is gone and peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, for He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. Wonderful. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He, for He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holy sweet communion. Oh, what change grace has wrought in my lonely station. Has received full and free salvation. Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Oh yes, wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. Prince of Peace, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Praise our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God, yes. Oh yes, every praise is to our God.
God, my Savior, God.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus before we get ready to go to prayer. Grace, grace, God's grace. Oh, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Oh, grace, grace, yes, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse with. One more time. Oh, grace, grace. Yes, it is God's wonderful grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Oh, grace, grace. God's grace is greater than all our sin. Amen. Amen. I ask Brother Jeremy. Brother Jeremy, if you'd come, open the service in a word of prayer. We have a number of needs here. We just want to take to our Heavenly Father. Sister Karen Buchanan needs a touch from the Lord, and the Hughes are not well tonight. Sister Carrie Whitlock needs a touch, fighting vertigo. Amen. And Brother Keith, we want to lift him up tonight. He's not doing well, so we want to just lift him up for the Lord. Amen. And the Parks are not well. We have Sylvester's, Brother Ben Pritchard and Ben McCafferty, they're away. Also, the Drums are away, so we want to lift them up in prayer, Lord. Just watch over them, give them traveling mercies. If you have a need tonight, just raise your hand to our heart, your hand and heart to our Lord. He sees your need. Amen. Jeremy.
Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a privilege to be gathered in your name once again, Lord, in your house. And Lord, we come to you, Lord, through the blood of Christ. Lord, you've made a way for us that we can bring our petitions and our needs before your throne, Lord. And we thank you for that. Lord, your grace is sufficient, Lord, for all of our needs. Lord, all of our provisions. You know each one, Lord. Father, you know the secret things in our hearts, Lord. You've heard the things that have been read, Father. And Lord, we give it all to you. Lord, I pray, Father, that as we just have laid our burdens at your cross, the foot of your cross this evening, Lord, Lord, that we can just lift up our voice in praise to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, our worship would just be a sweet savor unto you, Lord. I pray that it would be just something that would draw your spirit to us this evening, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that you would have full control, Lord, over the song service. Use the song leader, Lord, to lead us in worship, Father, that it would be pleasing. Father, and as your servant has sought your mind this evening, Lord, I pray that you would use him this evening, Lord. Speak through him, Lord, to each one of us personally, Lord. I pray, God, that we would leave better Christians. Father, we give this service, this time, we give it all into your hands, Lord, and we just ask that it be everything that's done would be for your glory and your honor, Lord. We love you, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may have your seats. And the choir has a song for us. Why don't you come, choir, and get ready at this time. We want to once again welcome everyone. That means come now. I don't know why everybody's scared to be the first. Once again, I want to welcome everyone and those joining us online. I know we've got a number of people joining us online. It's really good to have you with us.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen and free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Shame when the fountain of grace is running my way. I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven, and I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be sent in a grave. I was called by
Amen. We were made for more.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like to sing that song number 498. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. We'll start with the chorus.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load.
Understand this road I'm traveling down, no more waverings or wanderings. I'm standing on solid ground, and I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Let's all stand. Oh, the more that I surrender, stepping stones to a higher plane. The trials that seemed so awesome to me are now my banners of victory, and I know I'm heading to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
The more
Why don't you tell them how much you love them? Lord, tonight we love you with all of our hearts, Lord. Lord, with our being, our full beings, Lord, with our hands raised to you, Lord, we tell you, Lord, we love you. Lord, you're worthy, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, your word does not change one iota. Oh, Lord, we love you tonight, Lord. We praise you this morning, this evening, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Oh, with our hands lifted up and our mouth filled with praise, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We give you praise. Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you this evening, Lord. Have your perfect will. Have your way, Lord. Lord, that's my prayer, Lord Jesus. Come tonight, Lord. Meet with us, Lord Jesus. Meet with us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll have our brothers come as we take the tithes and the offerings, if they would come at this time. Just play that, Sister Becky. Hallelujah. You love him? Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praises. Worthy of honor. Amen. Service to Brother Barry. The more that I surrender, yes, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
One more time.
Yes, the more that I surrender, yes, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more that I can humble myself, the more he lifts me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
Give an offering of praise this evening. Hallelujah. Shake hands with the people close to you there and say, God bless you, pilgrim. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And you may be seated tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jason. Welcome all of you to the house of the Lord tonight. And those of you that are streaming here, we welcome all of you and appreciate you being here. And I'm not going to go around the room to welcome everybody, but because I will miss, and we are just honored to have all of you here tonight, though, our guests and visitors and friends, and appreciate you being here with us this weekend. I just want to not prolong things to this evening here, and just simply to say this, that my prayer for this weekend was simply that we would gather and just be in an atmosphere and in a mode to hear the word. And I just, in my own heart, you know, despite all the services you're in and all the different gatherings, you just feel like, Lord, fill my cup. Just fill it again. Fill it to overflowing. And that's just my deep and earnest prayer. And we didn't want to clog this weekend up with a bunch of activities and everything else. We have a dinner, of course, but we have, you know, just a time of fellowship. That's what we were after. And I just so look forward to having Brother Andrew with us. He's always a blessing when he comes. we've worked together a lot in different parts of the world, and always an honor to be able to go to Ireland and minister to the saints over there. And they're on the verge of building a new assembly, a new church, and we're excited for that. And this weekend, the only other event that we will have would be a baptizing tomorrow. And we're just excited about that, how God is dealing with young hearts. And anybody else that, you know, has that on their heart, we just would pray that you'd make that decision, make it soon, because we don't know where things are going. We really don't know where things are going. And it is a good thing for us to make those decisions. But I want to say two quick things. Number one, welcome to our anchor point for the year. Our anchor point for the year for a Christian is Easter. And everything hinges on Easter. It's all about the resurrection. I mean, that's what differentiates us from everyone else in the world is the resurrection. And I'm so thankful that we can anchor ourselves in something as solid as the resurrection. It speaks a lot to us. And I was looking in the Bible in John chapter 19, and it says that when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, I want to say three things, and I'm going to say one little part of it at each service. And the one thing that I want to say is that word "finished" is a really important word for us, because it is a legal term, it's a military term, and it's also a financial term. Isn't that true? And my experts over here backing me up, so I feel good. But I just want to say this, that financially, this word literally means that there was a cost related to sin. And that cost was owing since the Garden of Eden. There was a debt. And nobody could pay the debt, no matter how many good people we had, all the Davids and the Elijahs and the Samsons and everybody. Nobody could pay that price until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he paid the price, and he paid it in such a way that when it was marked paid in full, it never needed to be paid again. In the eyes of God, it is a finished deal. So it's like you buying a car, and you get it paid for. It's done. You have the bill of sale, it's the receipt. You have everything. It's yours. It's in your name. You're never, ever asked to pay again. You're never, ever asked for another payment because it's paid in full. And the receipt is marked very clearly. It's done. It's finished. And when Jesus made that statement, that's what he was declaring, that now, everybody, the price is paid in full. So you will never be asked to pay anything for what Jesus paid for. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. That's a comforting thing. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's go right to the Word. And I told Brother Andrew, I have nothing else to do till Monday. I have nowhere to go. I have nothing else to do. I have no appointments. We're just here to hear the Word. So you know what? I don't care how long he goes. Now, you may, but I don't. If he just feels the liberty to dig into a subject and just expound on it, I'm all for that. I don't know about you, but I'm in that channel, and I sense that you are too. And I appreciate you being here tonight. I know it's Saturday night, but I appreciate you being here. And I just pray in my heart, Lord, have free sway, have free course, and just take control. And that's my prayer tonight. Let's sing that little chorus, if you don't mind. My hope is in the Lord. And maybe we could sing that tonight, and we'll bring Brother Andrew on. He needs no introduction here, and we just want to invite him to come and have his liberty tonight.
My hope is in the Lord from this time on. Evermore, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. I stand in awe within the
You saints, our hope is in the Lord. Where would we be if we weren't Christians today? And I often ask myself that. The hope that we have in Christ. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're going through, there's hope. If you can just get in fellowship with the Lord, He has the answer. There's hope, no matter how dark it may be, no matter how hopeless, there's always hope with Him. Now, there's the power of the resurrection. He can transform any situation. He can restore anything. He can raise the dead. I mean, where would we be if it wasn't for Him? I often ask myself, they say, Lord, where would I be if it wasn't for You? Grace is amazing. And at Easter, we really do appreciate amazing grace. And it's an honor to be here. Now, Brother Barry has always been someone I've so much looked up to. I said it to the church back home. I used to watch Brother Barry many times in Belfast when I was just got across there about 25 years ago in the church there. And the pastor would put Brother Barry's video cassettes on. And I remember Brother Barry had quite a few statistics and stuff he liked in those days. And I used to always say to myself, wow, it'd be so nice to meet Brother Barry one day. You know, and the Lord grants you your heart's desire. So even to come here, it's a great honor, bro. I really do appreciate it. It's wonderful to fellowship with the children of God this weekend at Easter. So God bless you, saints. Greetings from all the saints in Dublin. Many of them have gone across to England to a combined convention this weekend. I'm here with Rachel, my daughter, Benjamin, my son. And I couldn't come with Daniel this time, but he was really grateful to the brothers last time for really making him feel welcome. Now, he's a bit of a reserved guy, but it did him a lot of good coming last time, so I appreciate that. Now, I'm not going to say the fatal words. What are the fatal words you never want a minister to say? I'm not going to take long. When a minister says, I'm not going to take long, you know you're in trouble. So we'll just take just sufficient time. I do believe the Lord will help us this evening to find just the right balance. Now, we don't want to push things too much, but we just want to start off with a thought. It's something that I really do feel was challenging my own heart. I just showed Brother Barry my notes for tomorrow, which is, for in the morning is the message, it is finished. And when you were standing there saying, Brother Barry, please don't go any further. Because that's exactly what I was going to speak on, that word, it is finished. That was a very encouraging thing as well. But let's open our Bible straight away, saints, to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Our thought this evening is our appointed times. I'd like to just have a look at this. Exodus 34, let's read from verse 21. These are the feasts of the Lord. Exodus 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, 21. I'm on the wrong page. 6 days shalt thou work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. So the Lord says, it doesn't matter if you're sowing, it doesn't matter if you're reaping. Whatever you're going through in your life, this time you've got to come apart to rest. That's what He's saying straight away. And He says, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. So thrice a year, they had to gather to Jerusalem, coming to the Shekinah presence. No matter what they were doing, they could have been soldiers, they could have been housewives, they would just leave everything they had. And the Lord says, three times a year, gather together to the place where I've chosen to place my name. Let's also read Leviticus chapter 23, just the first two verses, Leviticus 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And then he goes and he names the feast. But let's pray. Father, our hope is in you, Lord, day by day and hour by hour, Lord. And as we stand here in your presence upon this evening, what an honor that it is, Lord, to know you, to worship you, Lord. And Father, we just want to know you better. And Father, that's why we've gathered upon this night. How we're praying, even as Brother Barry said, Lord, we lift up our cups, Lord. Come and fill us once again. Yeah. Jesus, you said, without me, you can do nothing. And Lord, our own experience testifies of that. So we come back once again to you to pray your blessing upon your people, to pray for fellowship, to pray for communion, that Lord, you would draw near to our souls and overshadow us upon this night. We want to come within the veil. We just want, Lord, to be, Lord, shut in with God for this season. May you bless your people. May you touch your people. Father, we thank you for the special that was sung. What a blessing for the song worship. Now, Father, we've opened your word. Guide us and lead us in these things, we pray. Father, glorify your name in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. God bless you. So we're looking at this thought this evening of our appointed times. Israel was told that there was the seven feasts of the Lord. And the seven feasts of the Lord were times and broken into groups. And three times a year, Israel had to gather together in Jerusalem before the Lord. Now, I think that's the most important thing. They gathered before the Lord. And I'm so really glad to be in the presence of the Lord this evening. How the song worship brings his presence. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you're going through. When you come into the presence of the Lord, all is well. I'm sure you feel the same as me. You just feel at home. As long as he's there, everything's going to be okay. You always have that really, really assurance inside of your soul. So I'll have a look at this. The word feasts inside of the Bible, I'm sure people have seen this before. Brother Barry's an expert teacher on these kind of things. But the word in the Bible for these seven different feasts is Moedim. So when we're speaking of the word feast, and what this word means is appointed times. So the Lord was saying to Israel, he said, look, there's seven feasts, seven appointed times that I'm going to put inside of the calendar, seven times that I have designated beforehand. These are times that I've appointed for you. And straight away, we've known it from our own Christian experience. The Lord has ordained and appointed the times of our visitation. We don't choose the time of divine visitation. If you think back to when you were saved, he came to you. When you couldn't come to where he was. You know, so there's these appointed times that the Lord has where he designates a time of visitation for his people. And this is the goodness of the Lord. And how we need these times of visitation on a regular basis. Especially in the age that we're living. So much complexity. You know, there's so much pressure. There's so many distractions. There's so many things out there that the atmosphere of this age is not conducive to spiritual worship. We know that. It's Laodicea. It's lukewarm. You know, there's real demonology every place that you look. The world is falling apart. But the Lord says there's an appointed place and an appointed time that I've appointed for you. He, in his own choosing, has chosen for each of us, has designated the place and the time to meet with us. Amen. And we would have confidence to say, because of the covenant promises of God, just because if two or three of you are gathered in my name, I'll be there. Now, to gather under such a promise, where the children of God is, that's where he's going to be. He's going to gather together with his people. But these are called appointed times, and Brother Bram calls them times of conference with God. You know, so these feasts the Lord had, these are times of conference where the Lord calls his people aside at designated times for a very specific purpose. You know, these times that the Lord called them up to Jerusalem, they weren't supposed to be meetings just for the sake of meetings. When the Lord called his people together, the very first feast being the Passover, there was a very specific reason and something he wanted to impart in the experience by bringing them up unto that feast. And then once they'd gone through the Feast of Passover, down the way there was the Feast of Pentecost. And they would gather together and the Lord had a specific redemptive something he wanted to reveal to them by gathering them together at that time. And then all the way through to tabernacles and on, there were these seven feasts. But each one had a divine purpose inside of it. And I believe, and you believe, and we know that the Lord's purposes, he knows exactly what we need. You know, he really does know what we need. We think we need this. We think we need that. And I've learned it inside of my few years that I've walked with the Lord is that he knows better than me. You know, his thoughts are better than my thoughts. You know, the more I can get my own thoughts out the way, the more I can get myself out of the way, the job's going to get done because he knows how to do things properly. Now, he knows exactly the right timing. He knows exactly the right approach. He knows exactly what needs to be done, when it should be done, and how it should be done. And that's when he gathers us together. He has this purpose in our gathering. The prophet says when the world has conferences, they select their place. And what do? They drink drinks. They drink cocktails. They smoke cigars, cigarettes. They lie to one another. They deceive one another in the peace talks of the world. Sounds very much like what you're going through in the world at this time. You know, the whole system of this world is falling apart. But he says, but when God calls a conference, it's fasting, cleaning up, it's prayer, it's receiving orders and going forward. You know, so the Lord's principle is always speak and go forward. We know that. But this world is going to really work on us. You know, the world, the flesh, the devil, it's a war of attrition. Satan wears you down. He wears you down and you start losing your momentum. You know, whereas before you had vision, you had purpose, you had really clarity in what your calling was, what your purpose was. It doesn't take long in the spiritual warfare. It doesn't take long in this age that we're living at, we start to lose that momentum. And at that kind of a time, the Lord calls us to a conference. Because a conference is to receive fresh instructions from the Lord. It's like just to get everything clear once again. You know, just to make sure that your vision becomes clear. We know the simple scripture, which is so profound, that says where there's no vision, people perish. That word vision means where there's no redemptive revelation. When the Lord is not revealing more and more of redemption to you and revealing his redemptive presence in whatever situation that you are, it's very easy to lose the vision. Yeah, and there's great people before us have lost the vision. If you go back in the Bible, there's people of far higher caliber than us that lost the vision. Now you think of Elijah in his day, how he lost the vision. And here he was under the juniper tree, straight from Mount Carmel. You know, after your times of blessing, watch out, Satan's on the road because he wants to try to knock out that confidence that the Lord imparted inside of you. And Elijah comes down and he loses the vision. And he says, I'm no better than my fathers. And the next time Elijah comes, John the Baptist, we find him in prison and his eagle eyes filmed over. He's lost the vision. He had such a clarity of vision before when he introduced Jesus. You know, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There was no doubt. It was a real certain sound that he had. He knew who he was. He knew what he was raised up for. He knew what the message was. He knew what the message had come for because Christ is the message of every age. I mean, he's the Word made flesh. And he comes and John, in his ministry, being anointed the way that he was, he preached the entire program of God right to the millennium in a sentence. He says, his fan is in his hand. He'll gather the wheat to his garner. He'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know, he preaches the whole rapture. He preaches it all the way to the end. There was no doubt inside of him. But then he finds himself in a prison house. Yeah, and the prophet says, in forgotten beatitude, there's John in prison. He's an eagle in a cage. He didn't like being like that. He wasn't born to be in a situation like that. And he finds himself behind bars. Yeah, and the prophet says he didn't have his Bible to read. And yeah, and his eagle eye gets filmed over. He loses the vision. Yeah, and you see all of these great men, you find the prophet in standing in the gap. He says, I was heading off to Alaska. He says, I've been cut deep many times. He says, I built myself a complex. You know? He lost the vision and the Lord had to come and renew the vision to him. So we can see the possibility of a believer losing the vision, which is the redemptive revelation of God inside of our lives, is an ever-present one. And that's why the Lord, looking at his people Israel, he knew, I need to gather my people on a regular basis. Because just left to themselves out there, there's too much opposing them. They can be distracted, they can be sidetracked. And in our age of social media, in our age of instant communication, there's so much to distract us. Yeah, so much of it, not sinful, but it's just we can very, very easily start to lose our momentum. Whereas before you were like John, you knew who you were. You knew what you were raised up for. You knew the next thing the Lord wanted you to do. But now you find yourself drifting. Now you just find yourself on that death walk. You go to church, you go home. You go to church, you go home. But you're never really getting anywhere. And the Lord looks down and he says, I have an appointed time for you. Yeah, I've got a time designated. I'm going to designate the place and the time because I want to get you back on track. I want to get your vision back to 2020, spiritually speaking, so that you know when you leave my presence exactly what you're supposed to do. Because it's easy to lose it. And the prophet says that that's what it is. It's receiving orders and going forward. He says that's God's conference. He says you're cleaning yourself up and you're going before God. That's the kind of conference when you meet with God. Then God gives you orders and you go forward and he goes with you. Now, how many times have you been to church and you've come defeated to church on a Wednesday night? The Lord is so faithful to his people in the post of duty. Yeah. You just come to the house of the Lord. You didn't feel like going to the prayer meeting. Yeah, and you just get yourself there. Something tells you inside of your soul. You just be faithful to the Lord. Yeah, and there's so many things in your mind. And maybe you're going through temptation, whatever that it is. And you just sit in your post of duty. And the song leader stands in his post of duty and he starts to minister to you. And he starts to minister the presence of God through the words of the song. And you might have had it deep inside of yourself. You didn't know how to express it before the Lord. You don't even know what to speak to people about what you're going through. And the song leader just puts up a song on there. And that person who wrote that song was inspired with exactly the right words, which is exactly what you were trying to say inside of your soul. Yeah, and it just breaks you down. And you say, that's exactly what I'm feeling. Or the pastor gets up and he opens the Psalms and he gets to a certain psalm and you find David going through exactly what you're going through. Yeah, David is saying, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or David is saying, oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. Yeah, and you just find, but no, what I'm going through is normal. It's not unusual. No, this is the bloody footprints. Many have followed in the bloody footprints and have gone through exactly what I'm going through. And there's such a power when you find sympathy, when there's a resonance, when you can see, but hey, there's other people, this isn't unusual, there's nothing wrong with me. This is normal what I'm going through. Now, David went through the same thing. And that's why the Lord places these things in the Word. And the minister gets up there and you came to church dragging your feet, maybe even had made up your mind, said, this is the last time I'm going to church. It's not doing me any good. You know, I'm just getting nowhere. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I think I'll stay at home. And you find the quickening power of God comes, the redemptive revelation. The Spirit of God gets inside of his word. And God may hide himself in simplicity. And the sanctifying and quickening power of the word meets you in the post of duty. And something happens and your soul is quickened once again. And all of a sudden you can see things the way that you should see things. And you look at yourself like David and you say, my feet had almost slipped. Yeah. Remember David said, I was envying the wicked in their ways. And I thought, look at them. They don't have the problems that I have. They don't get chastened the way that I get chastened. Yeah. And then he says, until I went into the house of the Lord. Then I understood the end. He says, Lord, how foolish that I was. I've been like a beast. The way that I was thinking. But it's the grace of God. There's such power in the post of duty. And that's one of the pillars that you find in the early church. The early church, they weren't built on anything really spectacular apart from the spectacular power of the Holy Ghost. That was what they were built upon. Amen. But they were the four pillars of the church. They continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine. They stayed in the word. Now, when the message was being preached, they made sure they were there. Yeah, because there's such an omnipotent power in the word of God. The word of God will sanctify you. You come to church and you're tempted. There's that girl at school, that girl at college, that boy across the road, and your mind is confused. Your mind is troubled. Let the word be preached, the anointed word, and you are washed by the waters of the word. Amen. And the power of temptation goes, and you leave there back in your right mind once again. Now, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer. They never missed the prayer meetings. You know, the prayer meetings are the powerhouse of the church. Yeah, I think Spurgeon said it. He said, if any person could get everybody in church praying, it'd be the greatest revival in history. Amen. If you could get everybody in the prayer meeting and everybody setting their face to seek the Lord, you're going to have a move of God. Amen. Because that's where it starts from. And they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Yeah, the times that we don't feel that you want to go to church are the times we need to go to church. Amen. Now, the times you feel, I don't want to read my Bible, that's when you need to read the word. And you will find by offering that sacrifice, by taking up your Bible when you don't feel like taking up your Bible, No, Brother Bram said that. He says that sister came to him and said, I so much wish I could see visions like you. And the prophet says, sister, every time you open your Bible, you can see a vision. Now, this is the redemptive revelation. Every time you open the Bible, you can have a burning bush experience. You can have God himself speak to you.
Amen.
The same power that was in the burning bush and spoke to Moses will fellowship with you when you open up his word. But we don't just need the ink on the page. We need the voice behind the voice. We need the life that is hidden behind the pages of the word. Because that is what makes a difference inside of our lives. Now, when you don't feel like going to the prayer meeting, that's the time you're going to be blessed. Now, when you just say, I'm going to offer a sacrifice of praise, I'm going to be there. And you don't feel like praying, but others create the atmosphere now. If you would have stayed at home thinking that you could pray through by yourself at home, you might have struggled. Because sometimes we can't pray through by ourselves. The Lord says, no problem. I've got an appointed place. I've got an appointed time. I'll gather my people together. They create an atmosphere and you step on it.
Yeah.
And you start praying. I remember when I first went to the first prayer meeting when I came from Pentecost. And we used to just pray our little prayers. And I went to the prayer meeting and when I got in the message. And hey, the saints, you know, Brother Aaron knows back in Zimbabwe how the saints prayed the prayer meeting. The saints were all praying. Hey, and I prayed my 2-minute little prayer. And then I looked at her, so, hey, what are these people praying about? And they said, let me pray a little bit more. And after a while, you start getting yourself in the spirit of prayer. And you start understanding how these people can pray the way that they can. But sometimes we need to enter into the atmosphere that other people have created. You know, we need that. And the early church, they knew the power in these things. And they says, and they broke bread from house to house.
Amen.
Those are the four pillars of the church. Now, the church and the revival that took place after Pentecost was sustained by just those four things. The apostles' doctrine, prayer, fellowship, breaking bread from house to house. And the Lord just continued that revival going. But Satan knows how to get the fire to dim. You know, he knows how to pour on the water. He knows how to bring the circumstances. And what is the greatest thing which we struggle with is expectations and disappointments. No, it seems there's times the Lord hasn't answered prayer. You know, those ones where you're saying, but Lord, how long? Is that why, Lord? Those are the things that can weaken us. And if you're not continually coming to El Shaddai to draw strength and nurse strength from him on a regular basis, because Abraham had to wait 25 years. And the Lord says, don't worry, Abraham, you'll have the strength. You'll be able to take it, but just keep coming to me. I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. Just come, keep nursing strength from my bosom. I'm the breasted God. And the prophet says, like a little baby that's fretting and it's sick and it's not doing well. And, you know, the mother tries this and that. Let her just put that baby to her breast. That's God's provided way. And all of the nutrients and all of the antibodies and everything that baby needs to overcome is in the mother's milk. And it just has to calm down for a while and nurse strength. And after a while, it stops fretting. And then now it starts and you find it's back to normal once again. And friends, I'm here this weekend because I want to nurse from El Shaddai.
Amen.
I'm sure you're the same as me. Yeah. If we come to the end of the meetings tomorrow and my soul hasn't been in fellowship with El Shaddai, I'm going to be very disappointed. Because he is the strength giver. And we need his strength. We need his strength. Whatever you're going through, there's sufficient strength in El Shaddai to take you through whatever that it is. You've seen and I've seen, if you've been through things, and we know people who have been through the darkest of valleys. But he says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. His presence is the most glorious thing in the darkest of circumstances. I remember years back reading something, and the man was speaking about Jesus when he sent his disciples out onto the boat. And he knew he was sending them into the storm. And he went into the mountain and he was praying for them because he had sent his disciples into the storm. And he knew they weren't going to be able to handle that storm themselves. And he allowed the situation to become bad. I think it was the third watch of the night when he came. It was the worst, the darkest before dawn.
Amen.
He didn't come just when the storm began. He allowed them to be tossed and tossed. And then the water was now in the boat. And, you know, the sails were being torn. It was a crisis to them.
Amen.
Maybe at first they thought they could bail the water out themselves. But it was just getting to the stage now they were hopeless. And we're just not going to be able to make it. Then Jesus came and called. And he loves to do that. Because the light shines the greatest in the darkness.
Amen.
And he knows how to maximize the impact of the revelation he gives us.
Amen.
If everything's just going well in your life all the time and he reveals himself to you, it doesn't do much for you. No, you appreciate it. But when you're like Job on the ash heap, and then the revelation drops down onto the ash heap, you stand up and the thunders blast and the lightning, you know, flashes. And you say, I know my Redeemer lives. You're never going to lose the impact of that inside of your life. And you know what it's like because of the preaching of the word. You've been to church. When you were in your crisis, you were on your ash heap. And the minister just hit the channel of where you were. And there was a scripture read, and it was exactly the balm of Gilead that you needed to minister to your soul at that time.
Amen.
You'll never forget that scripture. For the rest of your life, when you read that scripture, it takes you back to an experience. It takes you back to a certain something. There's certain messages that you listen to. And that message was exactly the right message you needed to listen to at that time. That's the Lord's appointed time. He knows exactly how to visit you. He knows exactly what you need to hear.
Amen.
He knows exactly which kind of revelation that you need. And those messages, when he comes and you're at the end of yourself. Yeah. Like there's a song that says that, it says, just when you think you can't take it anymore, he comes knocking at your door. Because he's the friend of the broken heart.
Amen.
And it's true. I see it so much in your own life. The Lord allows you to run out of strength. He allows you to run out of solutions. Now, he allows you to run out of all the resources that you are leaning upon. And then right at the time when you realize, I can't do it myself, he comes stepping in. He says, okay, let me do it for you. And then it's glorious now. Because that revelation comes right in the midst of your extremity. And it becomes something, a stepping stone now. It becomes something. It becomes an absolute to you and your experience. It becomes something like you're put up as a pillar and you're anointed and you're given a special name. And you'll never want to forget that place. You'll never want to forget that time. Yeah, and I really see that. That's why for a believer, life is never really going to be smooth for long portions of time. Because it's not good for us. In this age that we're living, when everything's just going, you're just going with the flow, it's not doing you any good. There's got to be adversity. There's got to be trials. There's got to be things we don't understand. There's got to be sorrows. There's got to be sadness. There's got to be heartbreak. Because that's when he can reveal himself the sweetest. That's when he can step in. You'll never know that he's Jesus, the sympathizing Jesus, until you are in desperate need of sympathy. And your Job's comforters come around you and they try to say this and they try to say that. But it's not ministering to the spot that you needed to minister to. And then he comes moving in. And it may be in simplicity, but he unveils himself in some way. He reveals himself to you. And it's exactly what you need.
Amen.
It's exactly what you need.
Amen.
And then you realize, Lord, you do understand.
Amen.
You had it under control all the time. Yeah. You find some saints, they wait a long time to get married and they think, it's never going to happen. I always find, especially sisters, we who speak about it with our youth many times, because many of our sisters say that, it's taken a long time. You know, one day at his appointed time, you know, he designates the time.
Amen.
That's what a vision is. It's the right people in the right place at the right time.
Amen.
And only he can bring those conditions to pass. Now, he's the one who has to bring the right people to the right place at the right time. You can try to force it before that, but the hat's not on the television set yet. The vision isn't going to speak. But when you just wait upon him, just trust in him, when it just seems, nothing seems to be moving, he all of a sudden moves in. And he appoints who you should meet in the most unlikely of ways. And then you always feel ashamed of yourself after. And you say, Lord, you had it covered all along. And you'll find that he's always got it covered. Even when you think he hasn't got it covered, he's got it covered. Now, he's got the plan. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly how to get it to you. And when it comes, it's like a tree of life, like the Bible said. It's such a sweet thing.
Amen.
But I really see that from the scripture when it says the Lord calls his people and says, I need to meet with you on a regular basis during the year. And he had called them for a special time, maybe bringing them from the harvest fields, somewhere in the army, whatever that they were. And he says, forget about your business. I'll take care of your business. You need to come and get yourself in my presence once again. And they would come now for this special purpose now. This was the time of the conferences with God. And the prophet says, what is it for? You know, there's a book I read, The Principles of War. They study this at the military academy. And there's the 10 principles of war. This is the basis of all military doctrine by this guy Clausewitz. Some people might know him. But there's a couple of these points where he speaks of the principles of war that apply exactly to what we're saying here. The very first principle of war is what? Is the objective. You can never fight a war if you don't know what the objective is. You know, if you don't have the vision. I mean, imagine being in the army, you're in the Marines, whatever it is. You don't know what your objective is. Now, every soldier must know his objective. What is your immediate objective? And what is the overall objective? And that's what a vision is. It's your objective. Why are you reading the messages that you're reading at this time? Why are you reading the scriptures you are? What is the thrust of your prayer life? There's got to be an objective in things. Now, you don't want to be aimless as a believer because Satan loves it when we're aimless. He really takes an advantage. And we've got to have times when you come before the Lord and the Lord renews the vision of our objective. Amen. He comes and shows us what we should be focusing on. He comes and tunes us in once again to the divine symphony. We need times. You and the orchestra, your instrument goes out of tune. Now you drop your violin, you drop your guitar. You got to have a time of bringing it apart and tuning it in. Some people say that's what that word Selah means in the book of Psalms. It was a time to pause so that the musicians could retune the instruments. And that's what it is. The Lord calls us apart and says, come and get in tune with me once again. The world has knocked you out of tune. You're not at the divine frequency anymore. No, I need to come and I need to tune you in. I've got the tuning instrument of my anointed word, and that'll tune you back into the divine frequency once again. And then you start seeing things the way that the Lord does. And then you start saying, okay, this is what the Lord wants me to focus on. You know, there's the book Azusa Street, that guy Barclayman, he was the eyewitness of Azusa Street. He says, every move of God so far before us has been sidetracked from the real aim and objective. Satan's the master sidetracking us. We sheep, we go astray. The Lord understands that. He says, no problem, I'll bring you back into my presence once again, and I'll get you to line up with the North Star once again. Amen. Because your compass gets tossed about. You toss a compass about a little bit. It's any place. Leave it for a while. Let it be still. Just bring it to that place. It's automatic. It lines up to the North Star once again. And the Lord wants us to come apart for a season to be still and know that I'm God. And allow your sixth sense, that compass inside of there, to tune into His voice once again. To line your soul up with the North Star of the calling of your life once again. It's so very important. It's so very, very important for us as believers on a regular basis. We've got to get fresh instructions from headquarters. Now, because yesterday's strength, like the LaFontaines used to say, you know, Lord, I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But Lord, if you'll give me a brand new touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. And that's why he would call his people together once again. He said, look, let me come and remind you of the objective. Now, you're in the army. You're fighting my fight. I need to show you what you need to be fighting for. So here's one company over here. They get their orders. Their immediate objective, you hold the bridge. The other one over here, you hold the forest. Because the ultimate objective, the overall objective, is we need to take this particular place that it is. So we need the objective. And the objective must always be clearly defined. Imagine in war if you don't know the objective. The orders come over the radio, whatever. Hey, it's not clear. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, you cannot prepare yourself for war. Yeah. And the world tunes us into its frequency. And then spiritually speaking, after a while, the Lord can be trying to speak to us, but we're not tuned in. I remember having a dream years back when I first got in the faith. It was a very troubled dream, and I had it 3 nights in a row. But when I'd wake up in the morning, I couldn't remember clearly what it said. And I went to the pastor and I said, Pastor, I keep having this dream and it's disturbing me, but I can't remember exactly what it said. He said, bro, the Lord is trying to speak to you, but you're not in the condition to hear. You know, you've got too much static in the way, too much distortion. Go and fast for a couple of days. Now go and just get yourself back in tune with the Lord. So I went 2 days with another brother, went to church. We spent time before the Lord. And that night the Lord came and he spoke the dream. It was something about my father. There was going to something happen to his heart. And it happened exactly. But it became so clear. The Lord is trying to speak, but I wasn't in the position to hear until I came and waited upon the Lord and allowed him to bring me back to that frequency, to come up higher. Then I could hear what it is that he wanted me to say. So, and the Lord knows we need that. We need to come at his appointed time and his appointed place so that the vision becomes clear once again. Yeah, so the objective must be clearly defined. What is your current objective as a believer? What is the Lord leading? What's your next step? You know, what is it inside of your life the Lord is telling you to focus on? It may be your child. It may be issues in your family. It may be, you know, whatever. You know, but the Lord surely has a burden at this time for you. And he knows what it is we should be focusing on. He knows what we should be reading on. He knows what we should be praying about. He knows which direction we need to be going as believers. But sometimes we get aimless. That's just what this world will do to us. So he calls us apart in his appointed times to come and make the objective clear once again. And then you get there and you say, wow, that's true. Why am I focusing on these other things? This is what I should be focusing on. Yeah, that's what it is. The objective must be clearly defined. There's always an ultimate objective and there's other immediate objectives. Okay, so there's going to be the overall objective the Lord's got inside of your life. Maybe the Lord, you're a young person, you've just come to the Lord. The Lord is saying, you really need the Holy Ghost. You know, yeah, and that's the ultimate objective you have. Now he's going to give you some immediate objectives. Go and confess your sins. Go and make this right with that person. Go and get in the Word. Get in the Spirit of the promise. And then I will fulfill the ultimate objective for you. And all of the immediate objectives must work together to the ultimate objective. No matter what you're doing inside of your life, the Lord might lead you in this and that. You're reading this, you're praying about that. But if the Holy Ghost is leading in what you're doing, it's heading somewhere. You know, it's bringing in you to some kind of an objective. You know, the Lord's building something up inside of your life. He's leading you towards something inside of your experience or something that he wants to reveal himself to you in a more real way or something that he wants to answer for you. He wants to manifest himself or he wants to answer your prayer. But sometimes our immediate objectives, they're not working towards the ultimate objective. And a double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord. And Elijah said, how long halt we between two opinions? You know, we can be here and there, but when you get into his presence and he starts bringing forth now the redemptive revelation fresh to you and he's visiting you and the simplicity that he hides himself in, you start saying, okay, I need to refocus some of my priorities here. Maybe your immediate objective is you want to be the big man at work. That's okay, but I wouldn't put that as an immediate objective. I'd rather be a big man in the kingdom. Because if you're a big man in the kingdom, the Lord can trust you now to be a big man at work. Because you'll have the spiritual qualifications to bear the power that the Lord wants to give to you. So he'll come and refine you and tune you in again and just shut you in with himself. And he starts to show you the things you should be focusing on. And that's when you'll be in prayer and the Lord just lays a message upon your heart. And you know that it was the still small voice. And you get off your knees and you go and listen to that message and it'll be exactly what you needed to hear. Amen. And you can spend the whole week listening to that message. Or it'll lead you to a scripture and you get in that scripture, you start reading that chapter and it becomes manna to your soul. You say, this is exactly it. And you spend days just going backwards and forwards and gleaning on that scripture. Yeah, and you're feeding your soul and it becomes real and things become clear. Yeah, and last week you didn't know what you were doing. Now you know exactly who you are. You know what you were raised up for. Yeah, you know who your enemy is. You know what your weapons are. You know how to fight the good fight once again. But he brings us apart so that he can reveal these kind of things to us, these objectives that he has for us. The next principle of war, once you know your objective, is the offensive. This means to take the initiative. It's impossible to win a battle on the defensive. You can't. You can never defeat the devil when you're on the back foot. You can't. No. If the devil's bashing you and you're allowing the devil to keep hitting you, he's going to get some blows in there soon. You put up the best of defense that you have. There's no victory in defense. You've got to turn the tide of the battle. You've got to seize the initiative once again. Now, you were going forward. You had the initiative inside of your life. You were dictating terms to the devil.
Yeah?
The prophet says that when the devil came to Jesus and turned the stones into bread, the prophet says Jesus never minded the devil. He says, never mind the devil. Never pay attention to him. Never let him dictate your actions. Never let him set the course of your objectives. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yeah, but you don't want to be on the defensive. Yeah, you want to be on the offense. That's where the real power comes in. You think of an example of this is the Valley of Elah. Here's Goliath. The children of God have been on the back foot for 40 days. Imagine they're the children of God, but they're on the defense. And every single day, their faith is going down. They're being weakened by the voice of the enemy. Every day, Goliath's getting bigger to them. Every day, they're getting smaller in their own eyes. Yeah, they needed something to come in to change the course of battle. And here comes David, freshly anointed now. And he comes on the battlefield, and that's the quickening power coming in once again. And as soon as David comes on the battlefield, the whole complexity of the battle changes. Because David's not going to meet the enemy on his terms. David's going to dictate the terms. Now, David doesn't stand back. David runs to meet him. Takes out his slingshot. He goes on the offensive. David took the initiative. And revelation will give you the initiative once again. Yeah, when you get back in his presence and he speaks to your soul, where you were on the defensive before, when you come out of that time, you're going to be on the offensive once again. You're going to be saying, get behind me, Satan. Now, you've had your chance, but now the Lord's got his chance. Yeah, and that's what it was. You have to seize the initiative. And the moment David seized the initiative, what happened to the children of Israel? They all seized the initiative. Now, one man can make a difference. One person can make all of the difference. One person in a prayer meeting who's really in the spirit of prayer can just quicken everybody else in the spirit of prayer. You know those kinds of people. The Welsh Revival, if ever you went to see how it started, it started by a youth minister was going around and trying to stir the young people up for revival. And he got to this one youth group. He was allowed to speak to them after church. And he just asked them a simple question. And he said, what think ye of Jesus? Yeah, and the first youth said, I think he's the savior of the world. And the next one says this, and the next one said that. And then it came to this girl called Florrie Evans. And he asked her, and she had just come to the Lord, and she had a living experience. And he said, what think you of Christ? And she said, I love him with all my heart and all of my soul. And that testimony, that reality struck those young people. And that's where the revival started. Just one person with a fresh experience.
Amen.
Showing something real and something genuine and something fresh. That started the chain reaction. Then Evan Roberts came from there and the Welsh revival started. Just one person with a fresh testimony. Wow. There's so many people here tonight with fresh testimonies. You know it. You can see it in the faces of people. There's such a potential in the church of God. And Satan fears that. That's how he wants to put us on the back foot. He wants to get us so busy in other things. He wants to get us sidetracked on secondary issues. No, but the Lord now, he says, no, come apart. Come back into my presence again, because we need some quickening power to come in once again. You need to take the initiative. We need to take the initiative. The prophet says that in the message, the Lamb's Book of Life, he says, the devil will say to you, you just can't make it. You can't do this. He says, but faith raises up and says, shut up. I've got the floor. Amen. Sure. Faith takes the initiative. Faith is an active force. Faith is a living force. Faith is a revelation. It's divine. That's when he speaks to you. There's something divine imparted inside of you. What did the prophet say about faith? About revelation? He says, there's nothing of such prevailing power as a revelation of the word. When the Lord just reveals himself to you in the word, it just comes like a David onto the battlefield inside of your life. And now you seize the initiative. Faith takes the initiative once again. He says, and the seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. When it comes to anything that God has promised, take the initiative and stand there. But sometimes you're on the back foot. You've been beaten by the devil the whole week. Maybe it's temptation. Might be sickness. Maybe it's discouragement. Yeah, the greatest battle ever fought. Whatever it is that's going on. But the Lord says, I need to call my people aside for a season so that we can get the initiative right once again. So my people can turn the tide of battle. Because when you on the back foot, the enemy dictates the battle. But when you seize the initiative, you dictating the battle now. You dictating the course of action. The prophet says that. Take the initiative. God made a promise. He's obligated to his promise. As long as you're Abraham's seed, he's got to answer. Now, don't get any doubts in your mind. Keep them doubts away. What is a doubt? It's a counteroffensive. The moment you start taking the initiative, he's going to counterattack you. That's just what the devil does. He's going to try to pour water on that. Satan, what does he do? He always tries to stop a revival in its infancy. When Jesus was born, what does Herod try to do? Kill all of the children. When Moses was born, when the Lord started to move, when it was still in its infancy, that's the time that Satan would like to attack. And that's why you've got to be perseverant. You've got to say, no. The Lord has spoken to my soul. Now I speak and I go forward. I'm taking the initiative once again. The final one we'll look at is pursuit. Once you take the initiative, don't give up until the job is done. Pursuit is an active following after an enemy with a view to his total destruction. The prophet preaches total deliverance. Once the Lord visits you and says, okay, let's get the job done. This sickness has troubled you for a long time. Or this temptation has been a hindrance to you. Whatever that it is inside of your life. And hope rises up inside of your soul. And his quickening power starts to work inside of you once again. And you start taking the initiative. Don't stop short now. You pursue that enemy until he can never rise again. You just smash that enemy and you just pursue him. And you stay in that channel that the Lord has opened up until that enemy is never going to regroup. Because if you stop short, he's going to regroup. And you can end up worse than you were in the beginning. That's the problem, is we stop short too many times. You know, we've got the initiative. We're starting to feel the victory. We see the enemies now. The potential is under your feet. The prophet says, stay there. He says, and in just once more, Lord, he says, you better destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. Because Satan is merciless. When he has initiative, he'll pound you to the ground and then he'll kick you when you're down. And he'll keep on going until you are destroyed. So with that kind of an enemy, we need to handle him in the same way. When the Lord gives you the initiative once again, when you come to his provided place and he ministers to you once again and he gets you back in the channel of victory once again, stay in that channel until that enemy will never rise again. Amen. Listen how he says it. He says, you better destroy your enemy before the enemy destroys you. Bring back the old-fashioned prayer meeting. You see how he's saying to destroy your enemy? Because you look inside of your prayer life, the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You've got to wrestle with him sometimes. You know, you've got to really wrestle in prayer and say, enough is enough. And he holds on, he won't let go easily. He'll make you think that he has the authority to stay there. But if you submit yourself to God and then resist the devil, he will flee from you. Amen. The prophet says there comes that place like breaking the sound barrier. You know, there's all that resistance. Then all of a sudden, bah, then you've got plenty of space now. You know? And that's exactly what it is. He says, bring back the old-fashioned prayer meeting. Old-fashioned repentance. When they stayed at the altar till they were dead and finished with sin. So it says the people would come in the old days and maybe the sister, she had painted up her face or whatever that she had done, whatever worldly it was. And then the Lord spoke to her. She would come and stay at the altar until that was dead and buried inside of her life. He says, you never saw a woman go to the altar and die out to sin and the next day come back with bobbed hair and paint on her face. There's no such. Now, when the Lord gives you initiative and you can feel His presence is working inside of your life, stay there until there's a total victory.
Amen.
Until that thing is dead in your life. Until you know that this temptation, this weakness is not going to rise up again. He has given me victory over this enemy. You know, so this Clausewitz, I thought he had some pretty good principles there of the principles of war. And that's why the Lord wants to bring us together so that the objective becomes clear. So that we can go on the offensive once again. So that we can pursue the enemy. You come to the end of the meetings, you go with total liberty inside of your experience to say, I know that enemy is no. Remember the prophet when they're standing in Snow White Dove, when the Lord says, your enemy is dead. Is that not the sweetest of things?
Yeah.
You know, that's something that's been troubling you all the time, and the Lord just comes and deals with you, and you take control, spiritually speaking, of that situation, and you find that enemy doesn't trouble you anymore. That enemy is dead. And that's why the Lord would bring His people together. Now, without taking too much more time, these are the feasts of redemption. These seven feasts, they were the feasts of Jehovah. That's what it says. These are the feasts of Jehovah. The very nature of the Holy Ghost is redemption. Whenever He comes, He wants to reveal His attributes of redemption. And each of these feasts was revealing a part of the plan of redemption.
Amen.
And where did it start? It started at Easter. It started with the Passover.
Amen.
Without this one, you can't get to second base. You know, there's got to be the blood of the Lamb, and you've got to apply the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got to be identified with your Lamb. The token's got to be on display. So that was the very first thing that He was revealing. The very starting point of dealing with His people was the Passover. That was the very, very first feast. And then, like I said, it would move on. Then you move on past the Passover, and you look and say, but hey, I need quickening power inside of my life. The prophet says in the Holy Ghost messages, he says, what does the Holy Ghost do? What is the Holy Ghost given for? He says, the Holy Ghost gives you power in speech. He says, you find someone who could never testify to somebody before. He says, let that quickening power come in. Let that real presence of God come in. He says, watch that person stand like Peter on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
There's power in speech. He says, the Holy Ghost gives power in prayer. He says, a person who could never pray through to victory before. He says, when they stay there long enough and the Lord gets a real hold inside of their life and the Holy Ghost starts quickening a person in prayer, he says, that person now has power in prayer. You can now prevail with God. And he says, and the final thing, the Holy Ghost gives power to live a holy life. He says, when a brother walking down the street could never turn his eyes from the sins of the flesh in days gone by. But when the Lord comes and visits that brother, and that power of God comes in simplicity in the soul of a person, that gives a person power now to say no to things which they couldn't say no to before. And that's why that feast of redemption of Pentecost, it was next down the line. It was something that was needed if you're going to keep the initiative, if you're going to keep your eyes on the objective. We need the something inside of us that gives us the power to live the way that we're supposed to live. So these are the feasts of the Lord. And those feasts of the Lord, what did He do? He'd reveal His redemptive names. Now, whenever He gathers His people together, remember Brother Biskel's testimony, whenever He comes, something good happens. Now, whenever He comes, something good happens. There's going to be something He's going to impart to you, depending on your need. You know, you might have a great need financially. And He'll come, and while you're seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, He comes and reveals Himself as Jehovah Jireh. And now there's an inexhaustible barrel. You know? The cruse of oil, which you thought was going to run out and never runs dry, it's because He comes and reveals Himself as Jehovah Jireh. You can go through all the names. And when you have healing, He brings you to His appointed place and He ministers that healing to you as Jehovah Rapha. He comes and reveals Himself. Because these are the feasts of the Lord. You might have been troubled inside of your soul. You know, you can't sleep at night for anxiety. He's Jehovah Shalom. And He says, come apart. Leave those things apart for a while. Come and gather together with my people. Come to my appointed place. And let me reveal redemption to you once again. Let me reveal myself to you as Jehovah Shalom. The Lord who's my peace. What about Jehovah Nissi? You might be struggling, great battle inside of your life. He wants to be the Lord your banner. He wants to say, stand still and see the salvation of God. You will not have to fight in this battle because the battle is the Lord's. Yeah, and while you're worshiping him like Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, the Lord is fighting your battles down there. And you just go in and gather the spoil of battle. But that's what he wants to do in all of these things, Jehovah Ra. Do you need leadership inside of your life? Are you in the valley of decision? Are you at a crossroads inside of your life? The Lord is your shepherd. Now, he knows how to lead you. You might be struggling inside of your soul. You say, it's been a long time since I had the Lord spoke to my soul. My soul is thirsty. My soul is hungry. He'll lead you to green pastures. By still waters, he lays you down to rest. You might say, the doctor didn't give me a very good prognosis. Doesn't look very good to me, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's Jehovah Ra. I'm going to fear no evil because he's with me. Those seven redemptive names are powerful. And the wonderful thing is they're all distilled down into one name. That was the name Jesus. Amen. All the seven redemptive names of Jehovah distilled down into one name. And that is the name of Jesus. That's why it's a powerful, powerful name. These are the feasts of the Lord. But now they are holy convocations, we read. These are sacred sands. Now these are just not normal meetings of people. This is God meeting with his children. Therefore, it's got to be approached in a certain way. Yeah, you find people when they approach Jesus, when he walked in the flesh, many people came with questions and went away with more questions. They'd come and ask him a question. He'd answer them with a question. But anybody who approached him the right way, took off their shoes and approached him humbly, he'd unveil himself. And he administered to the need that that person had. Yeah, when that woman touched his garment, here came the virtue. The virtue was in the body. Yeah, and she just touched it. The virtue flowed forth from the body. But we've got to approach these feasts, these things the right way. Because you get what you expect. Now you get what you expect. The prophet says, if you come prayed up, you're going to get something from God. He says, when you find a minister comes and stands in the midst of a congregation that's prayed up, yeah, and that beautiful worship has been going forth, he says, you've got to hear from God as sure as the world. Yeah, the Lord is going to minister to his people every single time we approach him the right way. And whenever he comes, something good happens. Every single time. Yeah, you will never be the same again. No matter how many times you've been in his presence, being in his presence changes you. Him speaking to your soul, it does something to you. You can never be the same. Because the more we behold his glory, the more we transformed into the same image from glory to glory. The more time we spend with him, the more time we become like him. Yeah, and Moses, he goes up the mount, spends 40 days in the Shekinah presence. What happens after that appointed time? He's shining with the glory of God. And he comes down and he throws himself in the gap and he says, Lord, don't blot out their names, blot my name out of the book. But after a while, Moses now gets sidetracked and he's losing the feelings of the people. Yeah, what does he do? He takes the rod. You rebels. Must I bring you water out of the rock? Now, something had changed. He should have gone and spent the time now and got himself in tune, and the Lord had the provided way. But Moses now, he left the Shekinah. He wasn't shining forth with the glory of God. He didn't spend enough time in that place to be renewed once again. And that's what it was that made all of the difference. Now, as we come to a close, let's just think about Moses. No, Moses, God had an appointed time for him. Here's his mother telling him when he's young, say, Moses, you've been raised up for a purpose. God's hand was upon you when you were born. We put you in the Nile, and you were sent forth into Pharaoh's palace, and God is going to use you as a deliverer. God visited your father and I, and the angel came down with the sword and pointed to the north and said, your son will deliver the people. And Moses, in his sincerity, off he goes and he tries to do it inside of himself. And he messes the whole program up. The prophet says, what did he do wrong? He tried to fit God in his program. Instead of trying to fit in God's program, he messed the whole thing up. And off he goes, threatened by Pharaoh, into the backside of the desert for 40 years. Imagine a man like that. Imagine how Moses was feeling that day when he met the burning bush, before he met the burning bush. Imagine the discouragement inside of his life. Here he is, he doesn't understand his life. There's a call of God inside of his life, but there's no reality of God. That there's a deep inside of him, but he's lost his way. He has no vision. He has no purpose. He's just on this death walk. He's just going for 40 years around the mountain, 40 years just looking after Jethro's sheep. Though he's ordained and appointed to something far higher than that. And there's a seed inside of him. I can imagine Moses many times thinking back and the tears coming in his eyes and saying, but I wasted my opportunity. No, I had an opportunity to do something for the Lord, but that opportunity has passed me by. And Moses would condemn himself or forgets the suffering, tries to get himself involved in other things. Yeah. And then he wonders, why can't I be like other people? Yeah. Why can't I just live my life like these other shepherds? Why am I always troubled the way that I am? Why can't I be satisfied with this kind of life? I've got a lovely wife. I've got my children. Why can't I just settle down like other people? Because he's appointed unto greater things. But it all remained as potential until God's appointed time. And the Lord had a specific time and a specific place and a specific way to get his prophet back on course. God was never looking for another prophet. He didn't need another prophet. He just needed to have an appointed time with his prophet. He just needed to come in the burning bush. And he just needed Moses to stay there long enough. And the situation was going to change. Now, Moses was a man with no objective. His only objective for 40 years was looking after sheep. And imagine, you've been a great man in the palace in Egypt. Josephus says, Moses led the army and defeated Ethiopia. He was a great general. It says in the Bible, he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He knew all the hieroglyphics. He knew all of these fancy things. Now, he was a big man next in line for the throne. And then here comes the disappointment. That doesn't go the way that he thought that it would. He thought the children of God would receive him, but they didn't receive him. And he just gets offended with them and says, well, if that's the way the people, I'm going to leave them. And he goes off to the backside of the desert. Now, do you believe Moses was happy there? Absolutely not. I can imagine him in his home, him and Zipporah, with her high temper and his high temper. I'm sure they had some days there in the tents of Jethro. Because when a man is out of his calling, when a woman is out of his calling, when you are ordained unto heavenly places and you're not in heavenly places, you can never be satisfied in this life. When you have no divine vision, when you have no divine objective inside of your life, when you don't have the initiative, when you're not going forward, when you're not making progress inside of your life, we end up going backwards. And then we make the mistake. We start comparing ourselves with other people. Well, at least I'm better than them. That's not the measure stick. That's not what it is. Listen to what your soul is saying. What is your sixth sense saying? Your sixth sense is saying all is not well. Your sixth sense is saying you're off course. Yeah, and the deep starts to stir up in Moses. And maybe he presses it down many times. And when he's out there among the sheep, what is he thinking all the time? He's thinking of what might have been. Oh, friends, that's a sad life. You don't want to live a life for too long thinking about what might have been. No, that your glory days were back there. No, that's not what the Lord wants. That's why he said to Israel, come upon 3 times a year so you can renew your experience with me. So the glory days can happen regularly inside of your experience. You don't want your spiritual diary to have no entries for too long. Now, that you need to look back pages and pages and pages to the last time the Lord spoke to you. For the last time that he was real to inside of your experience. He doesn't want it to be like that. That's why he says you need to separate yourself, come apart for a season so I can update myself to you. So I can be raised out of history once again and become present tense to you. That's what he wants. And it's so simple. We're not speaking here that you have to speak in tongues. What? No. It's that something inside of your soul. Because my sheep, they hear my voice. And there's something starts to resonate with inside of the veil. And something starts coming to life again. And hope starts to rise up once again. And as soon as Moses now, he sees this bush and there's a fire in the bush. He says, I'll turn aside to see, why is this bush not burnt? And when he draws near now, the voice is Moses. It calls him by name. Ah, that's what I want the Lord to do to me once again. It's so wonderful when he calls you by name. What does it mean? He speaks to you so personally. He knows your name. He knows your every thought. He sees your every tear. He knows what you're going through. Sometimes we don't even need this situation to change. All we need to know is, Lord, you understand.
Amen.
That's what he said in the Smyrnaean church age. He says, I know your afflictions.
Amen.
I know what you're going through. And the prophet says, that stumbles people. He doesn't say, I'm going to change your situation. He just says, look, I know what you're going through. And when you know that he knows, all is well. To a believer, if he knows what I'm going through, I'm going to leave it in his hands. And we know that he knows, but we need him to make it real to us once again. Because our five senses now, and the sixth sense hasn't heard from him for a season, the five senses start taking control. And now your reasoning and your imagination and your feelings start dictating the course of your life. No, we need to hear him call you by name. That's what the burning bush experience was. He called him by name. He spoke to him. And he says, Moses. He says, here am I, Lord. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. He says, these are sacred sands, Moses. He says, this is going to be a stepping stone to your future. He says, but you need to approach this right. Just humble yourself. Don't worry about your sheep. Yeah, whatever. Maybe Moses might have been distracted. No, don't get distracted by the. Just pay attention to me for a while. Let's just come apart for a season. Just come and be shut in with me. Let me make myself real. Then he says to Moses, I have seen the afflictions of my people. I've come to deliver them. Moses, but who are you? Who will I say you are? He says, I am that I am. I'm he that never changes. I'm the self-existing one. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Moses, I am that I am. I'm not I was. I'm not I will be, I am. And that's all we need this weekend. We need a fresh revelation of I am. In whatever situation we are, if he can come and reveal himself, present tense once again, say, I am that I am. I'm with you, I am. I'm real. I'm present tense, I'm with you. I'm the self-existing one. I don't need a recharge like you need a recharge. You need to come and plug into me on a regular basis. And you need a recharge inside of your soul. But I'm the self-existing one.
Amen.
I have existence and power within myself. I am self-contained. That's why it says in Isaiah, it says, even the young men shall faint and utterly fall. Yeah? He says, but don't you know the Lord? He never gets tired. He never gets weary. He's exactly the same as he was the last time you were in his presence. Satan will tell you he doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't think about you anymore. He's forgotten about you. You know, the answer to that is just come into his presence once again. And every time you come back into his presence, you find he's exactly the same as he was before. Because he's I am that I am. He never changes. He's the answer. And he says it to the Smyrnaean church age. He says, I know your tribulations. And the prophet says that stumbles people. He says, they don't understand the love of God. He says, they think God's love must be like a mother looking after its baby. He says, that's not God's proof of love. He says, God's love is elective love. The proof that he loves you is that he elected you unto salvation. He chose you. He says, you never chose me, I chose you. And then he called you. But now it's his prerogative what he wants to put you through. He may commit you to suffering like Job. Yeah? He may commit you to death like Paul. But it's all with a purpose.
Amen.
And what is his purpose? That having gone through whatever he ordains us to go through, he puts strength in us. He makes himself more real. He better equips us. We know him better. We know ourselves better. We know our weapons better. We know who we are. We know what you are raised up for. That's why he knows. He says, but it stumbles people. He says, people think that God doesn't love them because of the things that they're going through. Where so many times the greatest of saints, have a look at them, went through the great, great floods of sorrow. You know, they went through the fire, went through the pain, went through the... Look at Job, the perfect man. This is my servant Job, he's a perfect man. Look at what he went through. And what for? So God could put him on an ash heap. Let me finish with that quote, then we'll finish off there. The prophet speaks about Job and he says, look at Job. Look at his appointed time. It's in I know my Redeemer lives. He says it was our character this morning, Job, when he was in the deepest of his distress, when all of his riches had gone from him, His children were dead. His body was broken out in boils. He was in the greatest distress that he ever was in, sitting on an ash heap with the crop scraping the boils, and his wife in the door saying, "Why don't you curse God and die?" When the members of his church had their backs turned to him, it was in that great hour. It was in that great momentous time that God took Job to the sacred sands, where he takes every believer into the backside of the desert for an experience like he did to Moses. In the coal shed where I received it, the little secret closet where he takes you. God has a place, and he has a purpose, and he has a time. And when he had Job in this condition, he had him on the sacred sands. For he was going to reveal something to him that would never go away. Oh, for those sacred sands. He has to take every real child of God there. I remember one minister in the Republic of Ireland. His wife was very sick. She had a tumor and they didn't know if she was going to be able to live. And she went through all this treatment and a big operation. And afterwards when I spoke to him, he said, "Brother Andrew," he said, "the fellowship I had with Christ at that time, the fellowship of his sufferings in the midst of my distress, I could almost wish I could be taken back into that situation to have that fellowship with him once again." That's the fellowship of his sufferings. We need to know him in the power of his resurrection, but you also need to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's when you have the sweetest of fellowship with him, is when he sets those conditions. And to the outside man, you don't understand what he's doing. Why is he pressing me down so much? Why is he pressing me onto these, this ash heap like this? Because the ash heap becomes a sacred sand. And at his appointed time, his appointed way, his appointed place, he comes and reveals himself. He says, "And you have an experience that no teacher can ever explain away." He gives you something on those sands back there, an experience that you'll never forget as long as the ages roll on. So as we gather for this weekend, and we have two services tomorrow, let's just look to the Lord and say, "Lord, you set the agenda, Lord. I need to hear from you. Lord, I'm on the back foot. I need the initiative. Lord, I need to hear your voice. Lord, I need to hear you call my name once again. Lord, I need you to renew me. Lord, I need the eye salve upon my eyes. I need my vision renewed. Lord, I need to see what is your objective for my life. Why am I going through what I'm going through? What is your purpose?" And you're going to find that the answer is all the same. It's him revealing himself. Because he is the answer.
Amen.
You know, the rapture is not an event, it's a person. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life."
Amen.
And everyone in Christ is already in the rapture.
Amen.
The rapture is a person. Your healing is a person. Whatever you need, it's a person. It's the person of Christ.
Amen.
Coming down and revealing himself to you personally.
Amen.
In your situation. And that's my prayer for us as we gather this weekend. Let's stand and bow our heads. And let's just consider where we are as an individual. Let's not worry about the next person, or don't worry about tomorrow. But what about where are you with him? Where are you in your walk? Have you been knocked out of Cater like Moses had? Are you pressed down on the ash heap like Job? Maybe just inside of your soul, you're saying, "Lord, I need that brand new touch. Lord, Lord, I need thyself. Lord, I need a resurrection of hope. I need the power of resurrection, Lord, to come inside of my hopes and my dreams and my aspirations once again. Because, Lord, I've been disappointed just one time too many." If that's your desire, whatever you need, why not raise your hand up to the Lord? And say, "Jesus, speak to me, Lord. You know my name. I have a father. He calls me his own. He knows my name. He knows my every thought." Why not just lay it upon the altar? Whatever that thing is that's come between you and the Lord, why not lay it upon the altar? And say, "Lord, I just want to lay this aside now, Lord. This has come between you and me. Maybe you've been sidetracked or you've been distracted. And you've got away from that something that you had before." He says, "Remember from where you have fallen. Repent. go back and do the first works. And the glory shall return. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this night. Father, we need you, Lord. Father, we need a brand new touch. Our strength from yesterday has gone, Lord. Father, we come, we lift up our cups, Lord. Father, we bring our souls before you, Lord. And we thank you that you are so faithful, Lord. And Jesus, we come with a hope and an expectation in this weekend that, Father, once again, you'll just come. Lord, just be to us all that you need to be. All that we need you to be to us. Lord, we just want to sit at your feet. Lord, we just want to gaze into your glory. Lord, we just desire the revelation of Jesus Christ freshly unveiled inside of our souls once again. Lord, call us by name. Speak to us personally, Lord. Raise us up off our ash heaps, Lord. Father, let us go forth as a mighty army to glorify your name, we pray. May you continue to bless as we finish this service. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Say this, Brother Barry. If I can hand over. Yep. Oh, you're there.
Have a maker before my heart and before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. He hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me his own, and he'll
Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that you can have a conference with God and call upon Him and He'll hear you when you call? I know there are specific needs among us here tonight. And I'll tell you what, it would be a shame for you to go away and have never called on Him when you know He hears me when I call. And if you know that, we should call upon Him. We should reach out to Him in faith this evening. Let's sing this little chorus here. Heal me, oh Lord, and I will be healed. Say fountain open in the house of David tonight. I believe it's open right here. I believe he's still a healer, the same as he ever was. I believe that tonight. And he hears me when I pray. He hears me when I call. I believe that with all my heart. I'll tell you what, I'm just so grateful tonight for the Word of God and the reminders of the promises that are ours. Brother Andrew and I were talking about the great preacher Spurgeon in England who lived many years ago. And he tells a story about an old lady who was in his church. She was a very, very poor old lady, had nothing and couldn't read. She wasn't educated. It was kind of a sad situation for her. Never married, never had a family around her. But she was faithful to the church, always attended, very faithful. Spurgeon used to visit her, and he used to talk with her and pray with her because she was so faithful. Then finally she died. She passed away. And he went to the house with the other people in the church to collect her belongings. She only had a few little belongings. When they went to the house, he never noticed it before, but she had a little frame on the wall. In the frame was a document, and he hadn't seen it before. It was there, but he hadn't seen it before. And he walked up and took a look at it in the frame. And here it was, a last will and testament. And an old relative of hers had left her a huge sum of money years ago. She didn't know about it because she couldn't read. But she thought it was such a nice document, that's worth framing. She framed it and put it up on the wall and left it there. She didn't know that she could act on that document and have all of her physical needs met in life. And the will stayed there on her wall until she was gone from this life. And Spurgeon thought, what a shame that she had so much within her reach, but never realized how graciously she had been provided for. And I think tonight, you know, many of us, we come to church all the time, hear the promises, you hear the preaching, you know, you sing the songs and everything else. And sometimes we don't really value what's within our reach. It's right there. And the only thing that's needed is for you to take that down off the wall and go and present it and say, this is made out. It's got my name on it. And you know what? I'm here to claim what's mine. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I was listening to the choir tonight. I was blessed to have the choir singing. And I told Brother Andrew and I were watching in the monitor in the office there, and I was saying, I said, Brother Andrew, you may not know this, but I said, do you know where that choir leader was this week? That sister was leading the choir. I said, she was in a hospital. She went unconscious and, you know, she passed out, and she was in an ambulance and going to the hospital and tested and all. Yeah. And I said, but here she is. She's here tonight. And lots of energy. I said, that's our God. He's a healer.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Sister Lord, don't do that again. And I believe that that's the God we serve.
Amen.
Now, when I looked at the choir, there was a face missing that I thought, every time the choir has sung in this church, that face is there. And that's Brother Keith. And he was not there. And so I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a prayer cloth here from Brother Branham, and I'd like to pray over this. And Mitchell, if you would you take this to Brother Keith? Because it's his desire to be here tomorrow morning. Brother Keith desires to be here tomorrow morning in Easter service. So we're going to pray over that. We've got several ministers here. Brother Noel's here. Aaron's here. All you brothers that are here. And I'd like for us to pray over this prayer cloth tonight. And I want you to bring it to Keith and give it to him, all right? And then I want Brother David to come, because Sister Carrie is watching tonight, and I got a prayer cloth for her. And she's been really sick over this last week with vertigo and different things. Can't read a book, can't drive in the car, can't do anything. And that's just the hand of the enemy that's keeping her out of church this weekend. And I'd like to pray over this prayer cloth. And David, if you would bring it to her and give it to her tonight. And it'll be our way of just asking the Lord to move on behalf of those saints that we know their heart would be to be right here tonight. It would be to be right with us tonight here and be in His presence tonight. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's a healer?
Amen.
Yeah, and He hears me when I cry.
Amen.
And either it's true or it's not, right? It's either true or it's not. Ask Sister Laura. She'll tell you it's true. She's here. And I'll tell you what, you know, many of us can go, we can go around the room and testify of God's healing power and God's virtue in our lives. And I'll tell you what, I feel blessed tonight that we have a resource like him to turn to. Not just hanging on the wall, but we can take it and we can cash it in and we can say, Lord, this is what you promised me. This is what you've given me. We don't deserve any of his blessings, but you know what? He's given us these things by his Amen. Grace. It's your problem if we don't claim it. It's our problem if we don't claim it. There's a fountain open. David, if you come, Mitchell, if you come, let's pray.
David, to you.
Any other ministers here tonight?
Who would believe? And there are streams of grace that's flowing down.
Let's all pray together, Brother Aaron, if you would lead us tonight.
Raised from the dead.
Yes, Lord
you
Jesus.
You gave us the keys,
You are
Lord.
The God who cares about what power. We go through, Lord.
And Lord, you said,
may
all
you
power
move on the scene now, Lord, and bring your healing
Lord,
virtue.
God, you've sent us, Father,
Father we commit these needs into your hands now
Father,
tonight.
Father, you said whatsoever things
we know,
shall
Lord
bind
Jesus.
Upon the earth.
That you are able tonight,
Father,
same as you ever have been.
Oh God.
And in the name of
Father,
Jesus,
says,
we commit these
Lord,
needs to you tonight.
And Paul, Father, tells
Lord,
us,
just move,
that it's not
I
in
pray.
Words only,
be strong,
but it's
I
in the
pray.
Demonstration of
on behalf
the power
of your people,
of the living
Lord.
God. Father, Lord,
oh, Lord
God, as we
Jesus,
lay hands
we are
upon
leaning
these
upon you.
God.
We are depending
Father,
upon you,
point
Lord.
Of contact, Father.
And we pray,
we are
dear God, that you
healing,
would use these
God.
Prayer cloths,
and
Lord, to bring relief to these symptoms.
Brother Keith, Lord.
Oh, thank
and
you,
our
Lord
sister
Jesus.
Carrie, oh, Father.
Yes,
Lord.
Lord,
for we know, oh God, is the hand
yes,
of the enemy,
Lord,
Lord
Jesus.
That would come, Father, and
how
try, Father, to harm your children.
You, Lord.
Father, as the minister says, that, Lord God, there is a war, there is an objective. There is an objective and the immediate objective, Father, right now. Now is for the healing for our brother
Lord,
and our sister.
Healing.
And some,
yes,
Father, that
Lord
are not
Jesus,
called even tonight.
Know, Lord,
Father, Lord
needed.
God, we are calling
you
upon
are
your name.
God.
For Lord, we have heard,
and
oh God, that all the compound
the
names
Lord,
of Jehovah, they have been wrapped in the name of Jesus.
Name.
Father, that
and
at that name of Jesus,
back,
Lord, the enemy has to retreat.
To
Father, we have been on the back foot, Father, for many days. For the enemy, oh God, has been raising up, oh God. But we are standing, Father, taking our position. Oh
yes,
God,
Lord
knowing,
Jesus.
Lord, that we've been anointed by this
yes,
word.
Lord.
Father, as your
Hallelujah.
Ministers of the gospel, Lord,
Hallelujah.
We are claiming
Hallelujah.
Our brother,
Hallelujah.
We are claiming our sister,
yes,
oh God.
Lord.
We are praying,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
That tomorrow morning
yes,
he may
Lord
be
Jesus.
Together with us in
Hallelujah.
Church. Yes. Father, we are praying, Father, for Sister Carrie,
oh,
Lord,
God,
that she may be with her, oh
now,
God,
Lord,
and touch her, Father. Lord, the disease, that the confusion, whatever it is, God, back the peace of hell. Lord, we rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus.
In
may
Jesus
Father each day
name.
Be healed.
In
and
Jesus
thank you, Father.
Name
we
pray.
Commit them into your hands.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' first name we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, Lord. There's a fountain open in the house of David to you. I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Absolutely. And his power is not diminished at all. I'm thankful, saints of God, that we have that resource to turn to. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. How we thank you. God still moves. God still moves
in the hearts of his people. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber.
I bless your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? God is good. Let's just worship him tonight. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night.
Give you praise.
We're going to sing another chorus here. We're going to have a closing word of prayer, and we're going to let you go tonight. If you want to stay and linger a little bit and worship, you're welcome to do that. And I want you just to, tomorrow, just to focus as best you can, and come early if you're able, and, you know, just drop your food off and come back in the sanctuary and just prepare your heart and just ask the Lord to add even more than what happened tonight, what you heard tonight. Just say, Lord, add to that, and just enrich what we heard tonight, and Lord, add something that I really need of tonight. I you know, what I found tonight was that what was said was really personal. It was just something that every one of us could use, because every one of us go through different situations and different circumstances, and there's something very personal about that. So just come. And we're not going to have a whole bunch of folks in the fellowship hall working there. We want everybody to be here and listening. Don't linger in the lobby. Don't do anything but just come and sit in His presence and just watch what God does. And when we all come with that expectation and that desire, let me tell you, God moves. He loves that. He loves to be placed in the number one spot. In the number one spot, He loves to be placed there. And so let's do that today. Tonight, if you will, let's sing that little chorus. Draw me close to you, never let me go,
never let me go.
This service tonight, Lord, may we each take a portion of the Spirit with us, Lord, and bring it back to the house of the Lord tomorrow. Father God, this is the presence that we live for. This is the presence that we love to be in. This is the presence, Lord, that we want to be in for all eternity. And this, yet, as good as it is, it's only a foretaste of glory divine. And in the name of Jesus now, we commit every individual need, every heart that's crying out to you tonight. Those that are listening by way of the internet, Lord, we just pray that your mercy would extend to them. That God, you would be Jehovah Rapha, that you would be Jehovah Shalom, you would be Jehovah Jireh. Every facet of your glory you would express to your people, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. How we love you, how we love to be in your presence, Lord, how we love to be with your people, and how we love to hear your word. Oh God, I just pray you deal with every heart, Deal with us, Lord, I pray, in mercy, not in judgment, Lord, but in mercy. And help us, Lord, to find the way. Help us, Lord, to have a desire to find the way. Lord, minister to hearts, especially those that are surrendering to you tomorrow and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I commit them to you and pray, Lord, you'd move on hearts. Move in a mighty way, I pray. Lord, pour yourself out upon your people. And Lord, speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Draw me close to you.
Never let me go. I'd lay it all down again to hear you say,
people said. Amen. Amen. I don't want to go. Honestly, I don't want to go. Majesty, sing this as you go tonight. May God bless you. We're just going to slip out for a while and get prepared for tomorrow morning and then come on back. How about that? Come expecting. Come praying.
Majesty.
Sing it as you go tonight.
Oh, worship His Majesty.